Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant good evening to you. Once again, you're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, Andy Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we continue to share the Word of the Living God. We want to thank you again for tuning in, and welcome to all of you to 2015 as this great new year has begun. I want you to continue to focus on the Word of the Lord. If you haven't taken time out to study the Word of God or to read the Word of God in its entirety, this would be a great year to do that, to take time to study by daily reading several chapters. If you want to complete the entire Bible in 4 months, you can read 10 chapters a day, or you can do it in 3 months. In 90 days, you can complete the entire Bible if you're able to read 12 chapters a day. However, if you want to take a little bit more time, you can actually do 5 chapters a day, and that will take you to 8 months. And if you do 3 chapters a day, that'll take you throughout the entire year. You will be able to have the entire year with a journey through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation if you're reading 3 chapters a day. That will be you're going to see the beauty of the Scriptures. If you are able to do this once in your lifetime, to read from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to be able to appreciate the Bible on another level, because you will see how God has set up things, and you'll see the continuity throughout the Scriptures on how things are lined up in the Word of God. You'll want to do that at least once in your lifetime. You want to take the time out to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And even if you don't grasp everything while you're going through it the first time, know this, that the Holy Spirit, God has promised that the Holy Spirit will bring things back to our memory. Even when there are times when we think that we have forgotten something, the Holy Spirit will remind us of a scripture or a text that we have covered as we have read it before. It will be called to your mind, where you'll say, "Man, I think I remember that in the Scripture somewhere." You may not be able to put your finger on it, but you know that it's there. The Holy Spirit does work on us and allows our minds to reflect upon the Word of God. And when you hear a preacher or evangelist or someone teaching the Word of God, you'll be able to be quickened in your spirit to know whether or not that thing that they're saying is in harmony with the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we must study to show ourselves approved. And of course, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And if we're going to understand every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, then we need to read the Word of God in its entirety. Well, that's my little spiel for this evening. I want you to know that we're going to have an interesting subject tonight, and our subject is, how do you obtain salvation? And then, what is it? How do you obtain salvation? And then, what is it? What is this thing called salvation? We're going to find out in the Word of God together. Father, we thank you for such a great opportunity to come together to share and to study the Word of God, as we know that where our faith is going to be tried, and everything that we stand for, we will have to give an answer for. So we're praying right now that your Holy Spirit come, teach us what we need to know, and reveal to us a more personal relationship with you, so that we may have power to overcome all things. And then, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will lead us and guide us into all the truth, so that we might have understanding, that we may have wisdom, that we may have knowledge of you. And when it's all said and done, we want to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, in advance. God bless you. And thank you, my friends, for tuning in. Again, our subject tonight, how do you obtain salvation? And then what is it? What is this thing we call salvation? Well, let's look in the Word of God for a little while and see what the Word of God has to say. In the book of Genesis, chapter 49, and Jacob is sharing a prophecy concerning each one of his sons. As a parent, you hope and you believe that there are certain behaviors and certain manifestations that you see in your children, and there are things that you hope that they would change, or that you hope that they would turn out to be mighty men and women of God, in spite of the things that may encumber them through their behaviors. And so here we find that Jacob is going through each one of his sons, and he's telling something about what their future is going to be like. And so in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 49, he gets to the place, or verse 16, he's talking about Dan. He says, "Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heel, so that his rider shall fall backward." And then verse 18 says, "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." Sometimes when we are talking about salvation, there is a time for us to wait on it. Sometimes we have to have some patience, because there are some things that God is trying to work out in your life. I know that sometimes things are not always good for you, or it doesn't appear that it's good for you, but it's good to you. But then there are some things that seem good to us, but it's, that's really not good for us. And so God sees us and sees who we are and how we are, and he longs to bring us to a place of where he calls it salvation. And so here he says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. I've waited for thy salvation. There is a time when you long in your heart, you desire to recover from the fall that you perhaps have gone into. Sometimes there are places that we long and hope that when we're going through a financial situation, sometimes we long, when am I going to come out of this thing? Or you're unemployed and you were asking yourself, when am I going to come out of this thing? You long for salvation. You long to be rescued from this. And so sometimes there is a place that God will have you in. It's in a waiting position because there are some things that he's working out in your character that's not fully developed. There are some things sometimes when we're going through some pressure, when we're going through a trial, a tribulation, it begins to work some particular things out in our character. God is trying to do some things for us to help us. And so sometimes salvation is a place where we are waiting on the rescue of God, and God is seeming like he is in a delay. He's not coming so quickly to our rescue. He allow us to sit in that thing for a little longer in order to work out some particular things in our character. God wants you and I to trust him. And so sometimes, as long as we have resources, as long as we have people that we can run to or go to, we'll do all of those things other than coming to God. And God says, look, I want you to seek me first. I want you to have a time where you spend with me and that you will seek me. And so part of our salvation depends upon sometimes us being in a waiting position. Over in the book of Exodus chapter 14, God is always instructing his children and trying to give them wisdom and knowledge and help them to understand what he wants them to do. And so in Exodus chapter 14, and looking at verse number 11, and they said unto Moses, this is the children of Israel speaking, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Sometimes we are such professional complainers. We would rather oftentimes sit in the and stew in the place that we're at, because we've become comfortable with our problems and our issues and our situations. And so we settle ourselves in this thing, and we don't want to come out of it. And even when God has sent you the deliverer, a person who will bring you out of something because they are going to rescue you from a situation, because you have become so in tune to that thing, you like drinking and you like smoking and you like all of those situations that you found yourself in, and God is saying that, look, I need you to come out of that thing. I need you to come out of bondage. See, bondage represents a place where you're tied down. You are barred away from the salvation of God. You are clinging to some stuff that is going to be deadly for you if you sit there any longer. And so God is trying to rescue you. And so they said that, hey, it would have been better if we was in Egypt than to be out here in this wilderness. But I want you to know that the pathway to salvation, the pathway of going to the next level in God, sometimes you have to pass through a wilderness in order to get to the place of the promised land. God wants to take you sometimes to another level, but sometimes you got to go by way of the wilderness to get there. And so even Jesus himself, before he started his ministry, he had to go by way of the wilderness. He went in the wilderness for 40 days, and there he spent 40 days in the wilderness, and afterwards he was hungry. Sometimes you won't know what it's like to have the things that you need until you have actually gone through some times where you didn't have. You can't really, really appreciate sometimes what you really have if you haven't been in a position where you didn't have. And so God sometimes puts us in a position where we don't have, or we're limited in our resources, we're limited in the things that we can do or accomplish, and it's that wilderness that God allows us to be in. And so in verse 13 it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now, I want you to understand this here. This is so powerful, and it is so rich with meaning, because sometimes salvation, you have to wait. Sometimes salvation is something that you must observe. Moses says that, look, I need you to stand still. That's a place where a position that you often have to come to when you're dealing on the next level God. When we deal with the next level God, God says that, look, I want you to see the thing that was binding you, the thing that was holding you down and holding you back. I want you to watch that thing as I remove it from your life, as I remove the thing that kept you in that house of bondage. I want you to see how I will stretch out my hand and deliver you from that particular thing that you're in. That's the power of salvation. That's the power of deliverance. Part of salvation is deliverance. And God wants to deliver us from the things that are cutting us off from him. And so he delivers them. And so he says to through his prophet and through his servant Moses to say unto the people, fear ye not. See, the closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the deeper the expression of his will and his purpose is going to be in your life, so much so till you will lose your fear of what is happening to you, because you know who is the one that's going to take you through whatever it is that you're going through. And so you can stand flat-footed, you can stand still, and no matter what happens to you, you will be like Job, who says, though my skin worms shall eat up my flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't care what's happening on the outside of me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've got something bigger on the inside of me that's greater than all of the things on the outside of me. And so this is the power of this thing called salvation. It will give you the unction to stand still, to stand flat-footed, and watch and observe the salvation and the deliverance of God working on your behalf. It will put away your enemies. It will put away the situation or the thing that held you back and held you down. God has a way of delivering us from such things. So much so that in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2, this is what he says that will happen when you began to get to that place where you fear not. Then in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2, it says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. God, when God delivers you from your enemies, you will say that he's a God of war. You will have a song in your heart. You will begin to understand something about the strength of God. You will begin to understand that the power of God is what's resting upon your life. It is he that has delivered you out of all of your mess. And sometimes we get into a place, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we want to look at verse number 15, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 15. And here is a beautiful text. It says, the Jezreel waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. God will cause you to get fat. He will cause you to get thick. And when you began to explore these terms that is used in the Hebrew, it is talking about the prosperity of God. God will cause you to prosper in such a way that you will have more, you will have abundance. Your vats will break open with new wine. Your when you go out and you come in, you will be blessed. Your cup will run over. Your blessings will outpace you, outrun you. You cannot be able to keep up with your blessings. And so he says that this man run was waxed fat and he kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. He says, man, your wallets are fat, man. You got some prosperity. You got some riches. You are fat in every area of your life. And then God had warned the children of Israel long before this time that, hey, when you began to get in your goodly houses and all of that, and you settle in and into the promised land, and you began to think within yourself and in your heart that you are the one who is responsible for your prosperity, and God says you better be careful, because I want you to understand that it is me. I am the one who gives you the power to get wealth. Now, I want you to hold your finger there and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and looking at verse 11, and God enumerates this thing for them. He lays it out for them. He wants them to understand that now after you receive all this fatness and this blessings, then he says, beware, verse 11, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and has built goodly houses and dwelt therein. See, they were full, just like Jezreel was full. He was fat. He was waxing fat. He was thick. He had some prosperity on his hand. He says, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You won't forget how God has saved you, how he has brought you out of the wilderness, how he has brought you out of this place where you wished and hoped that perhaps you may have sit there a little longer. You long to go back into that situation, into that place where you came out of. And God says, and look, I've got something that's so far greater than what you have been in and what you have come from that it's going to blow your mind. It's going to be so powerful that you have to look up, because there's nothing that's on the inside of you. There's nothing on the outside of you. There's nothing that you can point to that had given you this favor, this power to get all of what you got. It was God and God alone who did this for you. And so God says, and then watch this. He goes on in verse 15 of verse 8 of chapter 8. He says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of a flint. Now, I want you to understand that God brought water out of a flint rock is so thin that you would not be able to begin to think that water would come out of a flint, of a rock. See, God will blow your mind. He will cause things to flourish out of something that appears to be nothing. Now, if you saw the water coming out of a big mountain, a big rock, then you would say, wow, you know, you may begin to say, well, all God did was tap the hole in the rock and the water came out. But to see all of that water come out of the flint of a rock, you would have to say, wow, this is a miracle. This is God. There's nothing like this. I've never seen it done on this map, on this level. And then so in verse 16, he says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. God says, not only do I want to start a good thing on the inside of you right now, but I want to complete it. I want to finish it to the end, that your end time is be just as great as your beginning. And then he goes on, he says in verse 17, and he says, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. Verse 18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God had a covenant that he wanted to establish with us. And his covenant is in relationship to what he said in the beginning in verse 11, that you will forget his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. His obedience is tied to this thing. When you obey God, God says that I have the ability to bless you and to give you the power to get wealth. When you come out of the wilderness, when you come out of your situation, when you come out of the thing that held you back, when I began to bless you, it's going to be from me. And He doesn't add any sorrow to the blessing he pours out upon you. In fact, you'll find yourself getting fat. You'll grow thick with plenty, so much so that you will become a lender and not a borrower. That's what God wants for us, is that we become lenders and not borrowers. And so in verse 15 of chapter 32, as we go back to that text, it says, "But Jezreel, he waxed fat, and he kicked, and thou art fat, waxing fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fat with this thing." There's so much money, there's so much silver, there's so much gold, there's so much everything, cattle and everything that you can think of, you're covered with it. And then he says, "Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." He forgot God. And what a danger it is to forget God, to lightly esteem God. Okay, God, all right, okay, cool, whatever, you know. That's how we treat God. And God is saying, look, I am the author of your salvation, and I'm the one who has allowed this thing to come upon you. And then he says, and he forsook God. He forsook God. He forsook God. And when you began to forsake God, you are in a dangerous position, because everything that you have or everything that you could obtain is in jeopardy, because God can no longer walk with you because of your sinful nature. And so in Psalms chapter 3, Psalms the third chapter and verse 8, how do you obtain this salvation, and what is it? What is this thing that we call salvation? It says in verse 8 of Psalms chapter 3, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." That word Selah means to pause and to think about what I just said. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. First of all, the first thing to help us to understand about salvation is that we must understand that it belongs to God. It comes from God. It is God's manifestation of himself. His manifestation of himself is for the purpose of delivering us, rescuing us, keeping us out of the thing that will destroy us. And so salvation comes, and it belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. God has poured out his blessing upon his people, and there are benefits, there are favors that come along with this thing we call salvation. And so in Psalms chapter 21, Psalms the 21st chapter, David understood this thing. He understood it very well. In Psalms chapter 21 and verse 5, it says, "His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him." So God has a way of doing some things. In verse 4, he says, "He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him." His honor and majesty and glory comes when we direct ourselves and give ourselves over to the Master, when we understand that salvation belongs to God, and we run after God, we chase after God, we look for him, we seek him. He says, when you seek me, you're going to find me. When you search for me with all your heart, your mind and your soul is involved in this thing. And when you get involved with God, you have got involved with honor. You have got involved with the majesty of God. You have got involved with the glory of God. And God wants to shed his light upon your pathway to give you peace and give you understanding, to give you knowledge and wisdom. And so in Psalms chapter 25 and verse number 5, it says, David says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." David says, man, if I have to wait all day upon you, God, I'm willing to wait all day upon you, because I know that if I wait patiently upon God, if I trust in God, if God will lead me to the truth about myself, he will lead me in the way of righteousness. God doesn't have any other direction that he wants to take us in than to direct us in the right path. God is a God who loves us so tenderly and so mercifully that he says that, look, I'm willing to lead you into all truth. I don't want you to be satisfied with a temporary relationship with me. I want you to have a permanent relationship with me. I want you to understand and see this thing that comes from me as from my heart. God poured out all heaven, and the best gifts that he has given to us is his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost as the Comforter. God says, I've given you these two powerful gifts, and then it is through this gift that we are led into the truth. He will teach us, and we will come to understand that God is the God of our salvation. And on him, we are willing to wait all day long. And so David had understood that this is more awesome. This is such a beautiful thing to rejoice in and to sing songs about, to sit in the presence of God. David understood that the more I wait upon God, the more I'm going to realize his salvation plan for my life. I'm going to receive direction, instructions. I'm going to receive the truth about myself. The best truth that you can have is truth about who you really are. When you come to know who you really are and that you are nothing but dust, you cannot esteem yourself to be more than you are. But that when you fall down upon your knees and you submit yourself unto the Lord Jesus Christ, then you become somebody. You become a powerful child of the King. You become a person who is a high priest. God wants to dwell in you. He wants to take hold of you and put his power and his life in you so that you might be who he wants you to be. In Psalms chapter 68, David continues in verse number 19 of Psalms chapter 68, and he says this. He says, blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. David said, I want you to pause and think about this thing too. whenever there was something that David to bring special attention to, he would say Selah, which means I want you to pause and I want you to chew on this thing. I want you to eat on this thing for a little bit, nibble on it a little bit longer. I want you to drink on this thing. Just sip it. Don't guzzle it down. Just sip on this thing for a little longer. He says, blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits. God does this thing on a day-by-day basis. He loads us up with benefits, and he loads us up to the place that even the God of our salvation, he says, the God of our salvation is the one who is responsible for loading us up with benefits on a day-by-day basis. What a powerful God we serve, one who is able to load us up with benefits. Do you have the benefits of God? Do you have the favor of God resting upon your life? Does the blessings of God follow you all the days of your life? Are you dwelling in the house of God? Are you dwelling in the place of God? Are you really tuned in to the same channel that God is on? Because God wants to place you in a position where you come to understand that all of his benefits come from him. And watch this over in the book of Psalms chapter 116. And Psalms 116 and verse 13, David says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. God said, I will set you free. David realized that God had set him free. He had taken off his shackles. He had taken off his bonds. He had taken off the thing that bound him to his selfishness and bound him to a heart that was not right before God. And he longed for the salvation of God. He said, if I have to wait all day upon God to break this thing and to destroy this yoke of bondage that I'm in, I will wait upon the Lord. I've got great patience to wait upon the Lord for his deliverance. God wants to deliver us, and he gives us this cup of salvation. David said, he gave me a cup of salvation, and I want to drink out of this cup. I want to drink. You know, it's nothing more powerful than to have something great to drink. I'm not talking about no wine or anything like that. I'm talking about a great drink that's beneficial to your spirit, beneficial to your health and all of that. God says that David is metaphorically looking at the benefits of God, and he's saying to himself, man, this thing is so good. I just want to drink this cup of salvation. I want to take time to drink it all up, because in that cup of salvation it's loaded with benefits. It's loaded with everything that I need for the sustain of life, for me to be able to stand still and see the salvation of God on a day-to-day basis. God says, look here, watch how I do this thing on your behalf. If you would just take time to stand and stop looking at the troubles in your life, stop looking at the and worrying and complaining about the things that are happening to you, if you would take time to stand still and look beyond those things and look at him, you will see the glory of God. You will see the power of God. You will see the strength of God. You will see your deliverer. You will see the one who is responsible for your salvation. God has a plan for your life, and he is planning it, and he's working his plan. He's made his plan, and he's working his plan. God knows how to work his plan. And so in Psalms chapter 140, Psalms 140, and we're going to take a look at verse number 7, Psalms 140, and looking at verse number 7, and David says this, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. And David says, I've gone through some battles. I don't know, you might be going through a battle right now. I don't know what you're battling with. You might be battling with a health issue. You may be battling with a financial issue. You may be battling with a family issue. Whatever your battle is, I want you to know that when you take hold of God, you got a helper. You got a one that can handle your business. He can handle whatever you're going through. He will fight for you. He's a man of war. God, David says he's a man of war. I know him to be a man of war. God is able to fight for me. He can fight my battles. Even when I'm sleeping at night, he can fight my battles for me. God is a God of great salvation. He has planned this thing out for you and I, and he hopes that you and I will catch hold of the vision and the plan that he has for us. Over in the book of Isaiah the 12th chapter is a very powerful text. 12, and looking at verse number 1, and it says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And so here, if this thing gets so good to us, and to those who understand that God is a God of salvation, that he, that salvation belongeth to him, it's like drinking from a well. And see, when you drink from the well of God, it will never run dry. In fact, when you drink of that well, he says you'll never thirst again. The righteousness of God shall be poured out upon you. You will become a true worshiper that will worship the Father in spirit and truth. You will become one that will cling to God, that will hold fast to his hand and won't let it go, because you understand that your salvation comes from him. Your song is tied in to your salvation in him. If you want to begin to understand the victory is in Christ, the victory is in the word of God, the victory that you have for your salvation is all in the hand of God. And I believe that you will understand by and by that God is the one that's going to deliver you. And so this is the tale of how it is in the Old Testament. The word for salvation that's in the Hebrew is the word yeshah, and it's yayshah is how you pronounce it. But the word is yesha, and it's yesha, which means which in the Hebrew it means liberty. It means deliverance. It means prosperity. It means safety and salvation and saving. It means to avenge, defend, to help, to preserve, to rescue, to get victory, to have health, to have a good welfare. For God to aid you. So all of these are terms that are expressed in this word, in this Hebrew word, yesha, a liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety, salvation, avenging, defending, helping, preserving, getting victory. All of those are terms that are expressed in the Old Testament in the word salvation. When you move over into the Greek, there is the word soso, and it's pronounced sodi, sodi, so it's S-O-Z-O, S-O-Z-O, sozo. And it means to save, i.e. deliver or protect, to heal, to preserve, to do well, to be made whole. These are the expressions that we'll find in the Greek. And so let's go over to the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and to see some of the manifestations of this word about salvation. First of all, in the book of salvation, in the book of Luke, we're talking about salvation, but it's in the book of Luke. Well, there should be a book called Salvation. And it's every chapter in the book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there is an expression of this plan of salvation, whether it is expressed in covenant relationship, whether it's expressed in God's deliverance of his people. You will see time and time again the hand of God upon many lives of different individuals to help us to catch an example of how God deals with us in his plan of salvation. And so finally God begins to do something that's even greater, that he sent his son into the world to bring this thing called salvation. And over in Luke chapter 1 and starting at verse 67, Zechariah is a man of God, and he began to prophesy when he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse, as a baby, he says, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people. So salvation is tied into redemption. God will redeem you from whatever it is that you're in. God is purchasing you. Salvation is tied in with redemption. In other words, there are some redeemable qualities that God is looking, that he places high value upon you and I, and he's willing to trade some things off in order that he might redeem you. And so Jesus came through 42 generations, and he came into this world, and it was for the purpose of verse number 69, and it says, and he had raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Jesus had come through the bloodline of David. That God had long waited patiently for to bring him on the scene for such a time as this, because it was his hour, it was his time for him to be manifested. The mystery of godliness was about to be revealed to the world and to all of the angelic hosts and the other planets and the other people on the other worlds. And so God was about to reveal his mystery of godliness was coming to fruition. And so the power and the anointing of God was in the earth so that it would make manifest this plan of salvation. And so he raised up the horn of salvation. See, when the horn is on a buck, it begins to grow, and then it begins to come to maturity. And so the time was ripe. The time had become mature. It had become a season when the deliverer should come on the scene. And so it was all of this typing and antiquaries and the going in and going out of the sanctuary and all of these things that played up to the time when Jesus would come as our salvation. And so he appeared before us. And we saw him, and we witnessed him, and it was this Jesus who was going to demonstrate in verse 73 the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. So God says that, look, I want to deliver you in such a way that you won't even be fearful any longer of your enemies, because God has plucked you out of their hand of the enemy and put you in a position where he will prepare a table in the presence of all of your enemies. God says that, some preacher said, I believe it was T.D. Jakes, says when he got enough enemies around the table, then God will show off in their sight. I want you to know that God is willing to do this on your behalf, is that when you get enough enemies around the table, he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And so David, and Luke says it, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness, in righteousness before him all the days of our life. God says, this is how I want you to live in this plan of salvation. I want you to do this thing all the days of your life. I don't want you to operate in a temporal relationship with me. I want you to know that I want to establish a permanent thing, a thing in you that you won't go back from, you won't turn from it, you won't be challenged by anything that can come against you. Every fearful thing that you have been afraid of in the past, God says, I'm going to remove all your enemies out of your place where you won't have to fear them any longer, because you can only trust in me. You'll only have when you see what I'm about to do to your enemies, you won't do nothing but trust in me after this. And you will understand that this thing is all the days of your life. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. God wants us, brothers and sisters, to get to a place where we are going to allow him to have first place in our life. Over in the book of Luke chapter 3, and starting at verse number 4, Isaiah had prophesied. He says, "And as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." God had a cause, John also, to come up on the scene, and he was the forerunner for Christ. He came before him to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time of deliverance, the time of salvation has come upon the world, and through Jesus Christ, we have this ability to have a salvation. And he says this salvation plan is to for all flesh. If you have flesh, you have the salvation plan is for you. Over in the book of Titus, the second chapter of the book of Titus, and it's that little book after you get past Thessalonians, and if you get past Timothy, you'll come to the book of Titus. In Titus chapter 2, and looking at verse number 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men." So I want you to understand that nobody has been left out. The salvation plan of God has been made available to all men. It has appeared unto all men. Everywhere mankind has experienced, or the plan of salvation is going to be revealed to you. So how do you obtain it? You obtain this salvation plan by allowing yourself to understand that in Acts the fourth chapter, when you come to the realization that this is the protocol, this is the real life opportunity that you have before you. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, it says, "This is the stone which," in verse 11, "this is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So it is in verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." See, another one of those words of salvation is dealing with wholeness. God wants to make you whole and complete. You're not complete until you latch hold of God. When you catch hold of God, then, my brothers and sisters, you got it all. Over in the book of Romans, the first chapter, and we're coming quickly to a close. Our time is almost up. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." God says that this plan of salvation is for everybody, and it is the power of God. God gives you power, and so much so that you no longer are ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some people who will try to make you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but Paul says that I'm not ashamed of this thing. It is the power of salvation, and I believe that this is the power of salvation. This word, this gospel shall bring you to the place of salvation where you will be saved. And over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, he says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You believe in your heart, and God wants to establish his righteousness in you. And when you confess your sins before God, and you say to God, "I'm sorry for all of the things that I've done, all of my past, all of the life that I lived before this time, I give it to you." And God says to you, "I grant to you this salvation, this salvation." And Romans 13 and verse 1, Romans 13 and 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." God allowed some things to linger on, and some powers, but God has the greater power. That when you take hold of the power of God, you are allowing yourself to come into a place where you become, in Hebrews the first chapter, and verse 1, it says, that the angels are ministering spirits that are sent forth to those that shall be heirs of salvation. Did you know that you are heir to the throne of God? You are heir to salvation. God has a salvation plan that is working and operating on your behalf. And then he finally says that Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3 is so awesome. He says, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "And how shall we escape if we neglect to so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" How can you escape if you neglect so great salvation that is offered to you? God is offering to you and I a way out of our wilderness, a way out of our sin, a way out of our situation. He wants to bring us to a place where we come to understand that his salvation plan is the greatest plan that you can attain to. That if you allow yourself to have this understanding, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 10 says, "And besides this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, never fall." That's the solution for the salvation plan. If you're adding to your knowledge virtue, I mean, it's your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge and temperance and all of these things, you're not going to be barren. You're not going to be unfruitful. You're going to have everything that you possibly going to need in order to have this thing we call salvation. That's how you obtain the salvation. And what is it? It is your deliverance plan from God. God has a deliverance plan for you. In Revelation 17, he says, "And he cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." God, you are going to declare one day that you're going to praise God in the heavens above and say that God is our salvation. In fact, in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, he says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And then finally in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, we came all the way full, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1, we came full circle from Genesis to Revelation. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and had avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. I don't care what you're going through, whatever enemy that you've had to face, you can face them without fear because your salvation plan is in place. God has made it possible for you and I to be saved, that we can be in his kingdom, that we will begin to rejoice and be glad in him. We will honor him in all of his majesty and glory. We will bow before him with thanksgiving and praise. Father, we thank you for truly giving us the opportunity to every man. The salvation plan is in place for them. We but have to confess our sins and forsake them and turn our eyes upon you and look full into your wonderful face and watch the things of this earth grow strangely dim as the light of your glory and grace. We want to say we thank you and we praise you. We honor you, Lord. Thank you for your salvation plan and help us to be saved. So when you come, we can hear your voice saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. May this be the conclusion of the matter for our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, my friends, and thank you again for tuning in. Continue to praise God and lift him up, and by all means, study the word so that you and I will together one day be on the sea of glass. God bless you. Have a great night. Thank you.